Welcome to episode 26. We're going to take a look today at how our practice of self-awareness is key to getting to a place in our wellness where we can build our choices on a foundation of identity in Christ. I hope that by the end of this episode, you can take a little time for yourself today to just reflect and meditate on the scriptures and all that we talk about today to really see where God is guiding you into a new level of awareness around who you are in Christ. Hey Mama, welcome to Divine Design Wellness, where we're putting down deep spiritual roots and embracing our identity in Christ through holistic health. Do you want to love your body and feel confident in motherhood? Are you Googling quick workouts, devotionals, or time management tips? Do you wake up with great intentions only to find your littles take up most of your time and energy? Hey, I'm Carolyn, holistic health and essential oils nerd. I too was a mama of littles. I felt like my body would never be the same and wished I could find time for myself. I wanted the confidence and strength to fully enjoy life with my family, but I kept telling myself I didn't have the time, energy, or discipline to prioritize my health. That is until I took a holistic approach to mind, body, and spirit. In this podcast, you will find spiritual encouragement, healthy lifestyle tips, and quick self-care routines to build confidence in your body again. If you're ready to see yourself the way God does and embrace your divine design, go find that pile of laundry you've been avoiding, pop in those earbuds, and let's go. Hey friend, did you know in my 1 hour Healthy Mama Habits coaching, I walk my clients through a framework of foundational habits that build on the most important foundation, our identity in Christ. If you're not sure how to even start practicing more self-awareness in a practical way, let's get you started. Go right now to divinedesignwellness.org/coaching. How many times do you find yourself going through your day without ever stopping to process anything? I know as a young mom, I never really had the chance to develop maturity in self-awareness before I started the season of life with babies and littles, where there were constant demands on my time. And honestly, I have to say that I pretty much went through the first 9 to 10 years of motherhood with very little productive self-awareness. Now, I had all kinds of internal awareness of what I thought was me being self-examining in the way the scriptures speak of all throughout the Bible, but the truth is, I was more in a state of survival, and I was seeking to protect myself from any kind of rejection, judgment, confrontation, etc. So in retrospect, I can see that I was actually just doing a whole lot of people-pleasing more than anything, and I was really ignorant to the reality of the fact that I was allowing all of those things to control my thoughts and ultimately my identity. So today I want to share with you from scripture how you can bring more self-awareness into your daily life and begin rebuilding an identity that is truly in alignment with who God created you to be. I want to start off by sharing a quote by Stephen R. Covey. And if you're familiar with him, he's a really amazing author. I love a lot of his stuff. But he has a quote about self-awareness. Self-awareness is our capacity to stand apart from ourselves and examine our thinking, our motives, our history, our scripts, our actions, and our habits and tendencies. So this quote is actually a really great way to think about self-awareness. It's really just being able to, you know, kind of step back from the emotional side of being in ourselves, the human senses, and really just be able to understand what is going on inside. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows springs of life. In Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, the intentions of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. So it's really obvious from Scripture. There are so many places that we could look where, you know, it points out that what is going on inside in our heart is of the utmost importance for every aspect of our life, both mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so we really want to understand, like, how that looks, how that's going to work for us, and really to every day go to God and ask Him to help us examine our hearts. In Psalms 26:2, it says, test me, O Lord, and try me, examine my heart and mind. So we really have to make it a very intentional practice of coming before God and being still and asking Him to show us what is really going on inside and where we need to be tested and transformed. And one of the things that I have really found that has helped me to be able to, you know, kind of like a thermometer of where I'm at, of like what motives are behind the things that I'm thinking or saying or doing. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. And so if what we are designed for in Christ is a spirit of power, love, and self-control, we can really do a whole lot of gauging where we're at by asking ourselves whether or not what we're thinking or doing is motivated by either fear or faith. Are we being motivated by the perception that we are weak and, you know, we're trying to make up for that? Or are we doing things out of love or apathy? Are we in a state of really being intentional, or are things just going along as they go because of it's just the default? In Romans 12, it tells us not to be conformed to this world. And that's really the default. Like, if we're not really actively paying attention to the things going on in our minds and our hearts, that is what's going to happen. We will be conformed to this world because we are constantly surrounded with worldly thinking, with, you know, worldly motives, even within, you know, religion and Christianity. There is a lot of things that are conforming to the world, but that is, God calls us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing is, you know, it indicates that it has to happen over and over. It's not just a one-time deal. And when we do that, then we will be able to test and approve, you know, we'll be able to know in what's going on and know, you know, is this pleasing? Is it good? And is it God's will? So our intentional awareness has a lot to do with our identity. In fact, the more that we allow our thoughts to, you know, be centered around certain things, that is what our identity will become, whether we really think that or not. So when we can be in a place of stillness and really evaluate our thoughts, it gives us the opportunity to let the truth of who God is and what He has created for us to override all the lies that we have begun to believe, whether those are, you know, those things that are by default, by the world just seeping in, or if they're lies that we've told ourselves or other people have told us. All those things take over our identity and replace the reality of who God has made us. So I want you to think of some of the top most used phrases that you say about yourself on a weekly basis, whether they're like superficial things or if they're very deeply embedded emotional things that speak to who you are as a person. Some examples that I personally have found myself saying over the years are things that are, I would never say to anybody else. I would never say them to my children, even to the people that I maybe, you know, don't really care that much for. I would never say these things to them, but they're things I have found myself saying about myself. And this is one that I have gotten a lot better about catching myself and correcting myself, but calling myself an idiot when I, you know, mess things up or, you know, make a bad decision or, you know, telling myself I'm so bad at this or I'll never figure this out. I'm always late. I can't ever be on time. I can't do this anymore. Why do I even bother? These are all things that have been patterns of thought in the past for me. And still, sometimes I have to rework through getting rid of those in my thoughts. So how many of those statements are centered around me or I and our ability or lack thereof? When we can reframe these statements to bring the grace and power of Christ into the picture, what does that do for our identity? Are we going to continue to be focused on our lack, or are we going to be able to shift our focus onto Christ's abundance? In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10, this is talking about Jesus saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." And then Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. That is why, for the sake of Christ, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So all of those things that we say about ourselves that are coming from a place of negativity and thinking that we're weak, thinking that we can't take it, that we're just, you know, can't deal with it. All those things are things that Christ is saying that we should be delighting in, whether it's coming, you know, from our own perception of ourselves or from other people's perception of us, because that can be an even harder thing to deal with sometimes, is that those things are things that we can delight in because Christ uses our weaknesses to show his strength. When we are relying on his strength, all those things that we do struggle with that are our weaknesses, those things get to be transformed into glory for Christ because he works through those. Another phrase we might find ourselves saying is, "Why me? How come I'm the only one?" You fill in the blank. So in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide an escape so that you can stand up under it." So when we are tempted to get caught up in thinking that no one else understands what we're going through, or I'm the only one dealing with this, and it just feels so isolating and alone when you're thinking that way. And it's a powerful thing to remember that we're not alone in the struggle. You know, every one of us humans are going through very similar things. We're all humans. We all have the same general problems, but God is faithful in those situations. He isn't just leaving us out in the cold to deal with things alone. But we do have to be practicing awareness, especially spiritually, to be able to find that providence of escape that God promises. we maybe are also being trapped in believing that our past defines us, and shame and guilt are keeping us from really seeing the beauty of God's design for us. In Colossians 3, it says that you have been raised with Christ. He's raising us up out of that past. So now we need to be striving for the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. In Colossians 2:10, it says, you have been made complete in Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So we died. That past version of us is dead. All the things that have, you know, made us feel guilt and shame and, you know, all those negative things in the past, those, all that part of us has died. And now our life is wrapped up in Christ. Christ has taken his grace and mercy and forgiveness and just completely wrapped us up and covered us, and we're made complete in him. We're whole. We are enough. We are filled. And so any of those things that tend to, you know, trap us in these past identities, is we're called to rise above that and continue setting our minds on things above, the things of Christ. And that takes a lot of intention. Another thought pattern we can get caught in is that we're just one person out of billions. Why do we matter? I know that, you know, when you look at us in the grand scheme of things and, you know, this huge world, this universe, it can feel really overwhelming and tempting to just think that you don't matter. And that is a lie of the devil. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance as our way of life. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Psalms 139:13-16. For you formed my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and I know this very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All my days were written in your book and ordained for me before one of them came to be. So not only are we created with the exact details of our being, who we are, known by God before we were born, we were also created in the image of God. In Genesis 1, it says that God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So we were created after the image of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? So if we are created to be the spiritual reflections of God in all his intense glory, and that is done through the Spirit which is dwelling in us, how should that shape our identity and how we choose to use this temple, our body, in our very limited time on earth? There is so much power to be found in our awareness around who God is and who he has made us to be. So I want to leave you with this final verse in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Okay, mama. I know you want to get to a place of self-awareness, but you feel like you never have time to focus on yourself. And the majority of your time and energy is spent trying to keep everyone else in your home taken care of. So listen, I know it's hard to imagine finding the mental space to start prioritizing your physical, mental, or spiritual well-being, but you can make it simple in my 1 hour Healthy Mama Habits coaching. You'll get clarity on what exactly to focus on and a customized plan on how to start implementing that one streamlined habit that will give you a clear path to reclaiming your identity so you can show up for yourself and your family in the best way possible. So don't waste another day wishing your sanity into existence. Let's make it easy so you can save that time you really don't have. Go to divinedesignwellness.org/coaching. Hey friend, I hope today's episode blessed you. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share with another mama who may be struggling to see themselves the way God does? Also, please leave me a quick review on Apple Podcasts, as it brings me so much joy to know this podcast is helping you. All right, I'm off to chauffeur my kids around again. I'll meet you back on Tuesday for another episode. Until next time.